It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are visiting with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto, as we do each and every month at about this time of the month. And if you have a comment or question, if you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Email address essphgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at essphgh, hashtag EPLive. We're going to shift gears and talk about the controversy surrounding ride-sharing companies and the questions that the question that we're putting out to our audience. Should companies like Uber and Lyft be allowed to operate in Philadelphia? In Pennsylvania, I should say. 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Again, should companies like Uber and Lyft be allowed to operate in Pennsylvania? And Mayor Peduto, the ride-sharing company Uber has asked the Public Utility Commission for an emergency permit, which would allow the company to resume service after a cease and desist order was sent out to Uber and the other well-known ride-sharing company Lyft. How would you characterize the ongoing battle here?
Dysfunctional. I mean, come on. And I know that the people that listen to this show get it, and they're just like, really? Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, Etsy, they're not going away. I mean, this is where we progress, where we've moved to. The idea that, you know, I was saying it earlier today, somebody who makes candles in Ross Township can now market their handmade candles worldwide on Etsy is a way that the economy is moving. The fact that if you wanted to, you could rent a place in Midtown Manhattan in somebody's place and have a place that's inexpensive. Or if you want to share a ride with somebody who wants to make a couple extra bucks, technology has opened this up on a global basis. And places like Pennsylvania will decide to join the 21st century or put our head in the sand and say, you know, we just don't understand this technology and we're unwilling to change because laws say you can't do it. That's why we have flexibility in laws. That's why we have amendments. That's why we have the ability to create new laws, because the world changes. So the PUC had two tracks. They could have changed and modified and allowed for a temporary ability for Uber and Lyft to operate in Pittsburgh and throughout the state of Pennsylvania while the state legislature began to take on the task of creating new laws, or they could shut it down. And they chose the wrong path. I have no doubt that we will win the war, that Uber and Lyft will be operational this year legally within the state of Pennsylvania. My question is, what happens between now and September when the state takes it up? And I gotta give big shout-outs, and I hope that anybody who uses Uber or Lyft or wants to see 21st century transportation in Pittsburgh reaches out to them. Senator Wayne Fontana and State Representative Aaron Mulchaney have been working to be able not only to get legislation to make this and to get Pennsylvania to the 21st century, but they've been working with the PUC to get them on board as well, and they've been successful.
We have a tweet from VE Taxi at Vets Taxi. I hope Mayor Peduto understands that taxi owners and drivers are concerned with ride shares playing by the rules, and that seems to be the counterpoint here is it's about what the PUC is saying. It's about rules. And also there seems to be a concern about security issues, that we don't know enough about who is driving these vehicles.
Yep. So real quick to Vet Taxi, because Vet Taxi came on the scene a few years ago and does a couple of things. Number one, they realize that there is a need in this market and they've been filling that need. Number two, they employ veterans, which is a great program as well. And they're very reliable. I mean, it's a good service. What I think they're saying is if there's rules in place, everyone should follow them. And I agree 100%. But until the PUC allows others to be able to follow rules by saying you can have rideshare, but you have to have insurance, you have to have drug testing, you have to have background checks, you have to have – and all of those things. Until they put that part in place, then you're basically taking part of the market and saying, no, you're not allowed to compete. No, you're not allowed to, because we won't create rules to let you into the market. But once they're in, they should have to play by the same rules that Yellow Cab and Vet Taxi play by. There shouldn't be special favoritism. It should be an equal when it comes to regulations. But at the same time, we got to understand, I mean, this is global. This isn't just happening in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. This is happening around the world and billions of dollars being invested in these companies.
So should there be, as Uber is asking for, an emergency permit, is that what would allow the rules to – time for the rules to catch up with the service that people seem to want to have regardless of whether the rules are in place or not?
Exactly. And this is the conversation I had with the PUC chair about 3 months ago, that until such time that the laws are changed to recognize rideshare and the technology behind it, which the laws were written before it even was imaginable, let alone available, until that time there needs to be a temporary process by which these companies can operate under the same rules and regulations that the others do.
412-246-2002, the number to call. We will take a detour back to what we were talking about earlier with regard to police issues. Stephen in North Point Breeze has a question. Stephen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you. This has to do with the city of Pittsburgh police and how the city could save a lot of money by keeping its police away from doing the work of the University of Pittsburgh's police, because under the Capitol Police Act, the city of the University of Pittsburgh's police are given the power of the jurisdiction in which they find themselves, and thus don't need any backup from the city police, and they certainly don't need the city police to just be hanging out with them, talking about fishing or hunting or ogling those of whichever gender they wish to ogle.
Okay, I think your point is taken, Stephen, and what you're saying is that the university campus area is being over-policed, and are we seeing a duplication of effort that if you got the Pittsburgh police out of there would save some money?
So maybe not save money, but allow for resources to be reallocated. Stephen's right, and it's not just the University of Pittsburgh police. Carnegie Mellon's police are right up the street, Carleigh University. They may not have the same powers that he was mentioning, but they do, and they are there. The UPMC police are there as well. You see this around Washington, D.C. You know, you have so many different and what they do is they sort of work together. And I think we need to get to that point. One thing I want to mention, we are now at a high watermark with the number of Pittsburgh police officers we have, but we're putting in another class. And my goal is by the end of the year to get to 900 officers, which will be the first time since 2003 that we had 900. On top of that, we are going after federal grant money to hire as many as 15 more officers to go over the limit that's even set by city council. And hopefully by having that and what Stephen's talking about, partnering with these other law enforcement agencies within the city, we'll be able to have adequate police in areas where we're seeing rises in crime. And it's called cops on docs. Again, it uses technology, finds out where we're having the worst problems and be able to adequately address it. We haven't been able to do that because we haven't had enough force before. We're going to have that force.
Let's get back to the issue of transportation. And you were recently in Europe focusing on some of the innovative modes of transportation in places like Sweden and Denmark. What can you tell us about the bus rapid transit system in Sweden and if we might be able to build something like that here in Pittsburgh?
The disappointment part of it is those countries – I mean that's like the mecca for multimodal transportation. But they're 30 years ahead of us.
Right.
I mean literally. I mean if we – today decided we were going to do everything that they have, it would take us 30 years to catch up, which is – it's disheartening in a way. But there has to be solid steps that are taken with all transportation options. Uber and Lyft are a part of that too. But really the big pieces are within the city, we need to create an infrastructure for bike transportation. And what that means is not just painting bicycles on the street, but literally creating – a super highway for bikes within the city of Pittsburgh. And if you go to Bike Pittsburgh, they've already mapped it out. I mean, they've got a great model that we can start to emulate. And then it becomes part of our culture. So if we're creating a BRT system, a bus rapid transit system between downtown and Oakland, and people say, we need a subway. Well, we'll never afford a subway. We can study subways for the next 20 years, or we can build something. Well, we're not building an LRT because we can't afford an LRT. If we could, we would, obviously. We'd have a trolley. We'd have all those options. We studied all those options. What we can afford right now for the city is a BRT system. When we plan it, it also has to have a dedicated bikeway with it. When we're looking to solve our combined sewer overflow problems in Lawrenceville and in the Strip District, and we're looking at the Green Boulevard, we have to include a dedicated bike system as a part of that and the Green Boulevard as a part of it. So it changes the culture of everything we do in order to be able to build the infrastructure out.
I guess one of the things we wonder about, though, is can we realistically expect bicycles to be an integral part of the future transportation picture in Pittsburgh with the narrow streets and the older infrastructure we have?
I'm sure these guys got them hills. You can't have nothing out there. No, of
easy
course we
now.
Can't. No, but that's,
how did you know I lived in the South Hills?
Yes, but that's the thing. It's yes. Yeah, other cities have hills and bikes. they can work together. And the beautiful part about it is, yeah, we've got these challenges. But they're challenges. That's why people decide to go to Carnegie Mellon and become engineers, to be able to solve problems like that. And it's all a component of building out the whole system. So the last time we did a complete model of downtown transportation was in the 1950s. And the time before that was sometime around 1753 with Major George Washington, the Virginia militia, when they laid out that crazy double grid system. So we have an opportunity in these next couple of years to start looking at all modes of transportation, bikes, buses, pedestrians, cars, and make it so that the downtown area is very easy to navigate, and then bring that out and start doing it further and further. But again, it's not going to happen overnight. I remember somebody get mad at me because I said, we'll create a 10-year bike plan. 10 years? We need it now.
Well,
Portland has a 20-year. Boston has a 20-year. And Copenhagen had a 40-year. You don't just build it out in a year, 2 years, or 3 years. You start to build system by system.
Part of a long-range vision. Well, people are obviously interested in this topic. If we can jam a couple calls in, let's go with Mark in Greenfield, who wanted to comment on bike lanes. Mark, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi.
Bill, yep. I just wanted to tell you, we ought to not have the bike lanes at all. In the cultural district, what's going to happen down there when all four or five theaters are running on a Saturday night or a Friday night, and the Pirates are across the river? And I was down there a few weeks ago for a play at the O'Reilly, and traffic was just a massive traffic jam from one end of Penn Avenue, that whole area. The Pirates were in town. And, I mean, how's this going to work? That, you know, you're going to take one of the major traffic areas in the city and now just reduce where traffic can go, basically.
So we looked at this, and Mark's right. You know, how do you manage the traffic when you have impacts that would limit the amount? You have Fort Duquesne Boulevard, Liberty Avenue, and then you have one lane of traffic on Penn. We're talking about removing one lane of traffic on Penn, keeping and moving the traffic onto the major arteries where the traffic should be moving. You have a single lane on Penn Avenue. That's all that is there. It causes more backups by having that, I would argue, than by eliminating it. The other thing is, we have not retimed the traffic signals downtown in any way, really, since the 1960s and 70s. We've invested over $8 million into a system to be able to automate them and to be able to make changes. So if it's a Pirate game, these lights stay on for an extra 30 seconds, then these lights, and it will move traffic by algorithms. That's part of what we're going to be doing as well. We're not simply going to put a bike lane in and keep everything the same way that it is. When the other thing that we're looking at, you know, a lot of on-street parking, it's used for 30 minutes. It's used for 15 minutes. It's extremely expensive, or else it's just not used until after 6 o'clock, and then it's free parking for downtown. Sorry, folks, but parking downtown shouldn't be free. And I know that, you know, politicians should never say that, but making it so that areas are open so that we can create left-hand turn lanes so the traffic moves and doesn't get stuck and block up three blocks by removing two or three of those parking spaces is a common sense approach to be able to reduce congestion from automobiles. But at the same time, we have to create the infrastructure for bikes.
Let's go to Casper in McKees Rocks. Casper, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. If you can go quickly, please.
Absolutely. Mr. Mayor, thank you. Lived in Michigan for a number of years. I'm an avid cyclist. In fact, I've ridden across that state a few times, moved to Pittsburgh a few years ago. I have found a pervasive negative attitude among drivers towards cyclists in this town, which I've never encountered anywhere else. In fact, last year I sold my road bike. I feel that very briefly, the city should look at a two-pronged approach. While the dedicated bike lanes is an admirable thing to do, I think that you need an education program try to win over the hearts and minds of the city drivers.
It's a good point, Casper, and we need to move this along. But
just agreed. And the best way to do it is have a mayor that actually gets on the street. So yesterday, I bought my first new bike since like the 1970s.
And let's take one last call from Joe in Oakland, who's been holding. Joe, go ahead. Joe, are you there?
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Nice to talk to you as Mr. Mayor and not much just my councilman.
Thanks, Joe.
What has Sweden and Denmark and other countries that are much farther advanced with regard to bicycle, what have they done with regard to licensing bike drivers?
Good question.
I've almost been hit by bicycles more often than automobiles because, unfortunately, they don't obey traffic signals, nor do motorists, but there's a lot of bicycles.
There are a lot of people who have made that same observation, Joe.
So two things with that. Number one, they don't license. In Copenhagen alone, there's 500,000 bike commuters.
500,000?
500,000. One bridge alone gets 40,000 people over it a day. So they have and they built out the infrastructure. And when they built out the infrastructure, you know, they didn't have 500,000 people waiting for it. It helped to build it out. What they don't have, Joe, they don't have ADA. And so in a lot of the areas – you see a lot of people that are trying to be able to get from one area to the other who are in harm's way because ADA standards are so much lower over there than they are here. And I think what we can do is start to create a standard, and especially in Oakland, we can be able to really make sure that that happens. When I went over, people told me, because I said, I'm going to be riding 60, 70 miles. I'm going to be on streets. And they said, don't have to worry about getting hit by a car. You have to worry about getting hit by a bike when you're on a bike. And so I think we can pretty much create a better standard that they have.
Before we let you go, the goats.
The goats
are cutting the lawn. What, tell us about this.
So my buddy Danielle Crumrine, God love Danielle, and I hope somebody says I shouted out her name. And by the way, Danielle and Eric, a little trivia, they got married about 3 years ago and their wedding gift's still in my living room. She for years has said, you know, we could have a program where we bought goats in to start tackling our evasive weed problems like Japanese knotweed and other things, and they can just go to lunch. Now, you know, there's always been questions, or is that going to get us in trouble with the laborers or the Teamsters or somebody? I'm not really sure, but I think, you know, these goats can be unionized. We can work with these goats, and I would love to have a summer where we had all 30 of those goats going neighborhood to neighborhood and actually have kids start to work with them. And so I am so happy that she started it. I was driving on Polish Hill yesterday. I saw some guy taking pictures. Our public works crew was there, and I was worried, what the heck are they doing? And I'd look around, and I see a hill of goats. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty cool city.
Right in the middle of a Pittsburgh neighborhood.
Love it.
Mayor Bill Peduto making his monthly visit with us and kind of a bonus edition. Thanks for being so generous with your time today.
Oh, loved it. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Well, see you next month.
See you then. Coming up, we'll discover how the Hillman Photography Initiative is requesting photos from Pittsburghers to tell the city's story. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.